Okay, now I want to introduce Dr. Chung. If you want to come up here, please. You know, we are in the open preaching month of August. Dr. Chung, he is the professor of Christian theology as well as the director of Asian Initiative at Denver Seminary. I had the pleasure and privilege to be in my last semester, I was in his Theology 2 class. Right when we moved to online because of COVID. And if there's something I could say about Dr. Chung is that he's equally humble as very smart, very, very smart. You know, he would make questions sometimes while we were in the Zoom call during the pandemic. And, you know, he would make questions and you're like trying to prove yourself and you're like trying to make this as much of smart theological statement. And he would listen and he'll be like, okay, you get this. And then he'll send a sticker of happy face. And then you also get this. And then thumbs up, you know? Very humble, man. Very, very nice. So it's a pleasure to have you here, Dr. Chung. Thank you so much for being here. And we are excited to hear from you.
Thank you. Good morning. How are you doing this morning? Good? Okay, hallelujah. I'm so glad to be here with you and worship together. And also, I want to thank you, Pastor David and Misha, especially for inviting me to preach here. You know, this is a great privilege and honor to speak for God, you know, to you. And also, I pray that the Holy Spirit will work in you and empower you to listen to God's word and also to obey God's will. So I think this is a wonderful congregation. What a diversity here. You know, we have a lot of people from different ethnic groups, you know, from Asia, from South America, even from, you know, some other countries. I have never been there. So yeah, diversity. You know, our God is the God of diversity. Amen? Yeah, three persons in one Godhead, right? So unity and diversity, diversity and unity. So diversity is God's ontological principle. Do you know that? Yeah, so God embraces diversity in himself. So diversity is something good, something celebratory, and something beautiful. So this is an international church, right? I like the word international and global, right? I'm attending Cherry Hills Church in Highland Ranch. You know, in that church, I am a member with my wife. We are members in the international section. So in that section, we have about, you know, 100 or 150 people. So in that group, we have a lot of people who are from, you know, Brazil, from Colombia, from, you know, any other, from India, China, even you know, some African countries, and, you know, Netherlands, wow. So I want to celebrate, okay, with God, especially celebrate your church. This is the demonstration, the evidence of God's celebration of diversity. And, you know, according to Revelation chapter 7, right? All people from all ethnicities, all languages, right? All races and all nations will gather together in front of God and we will worship God together, right? Especially when the Lord comes again. Even today, right? We, in anticipation, in expectation of the Lord's second coming, we are here to worship him. We are here to worship our Lord Jesus Christ in celebration, in expectation of his glorious coming. So we are here, right? We are here. We are tasting the final glory that we will experience all together with our brothers and sisters. Amen? Okay, yeah. That's it for my, you know, introduction. And then let's go to the text. Today's text is from 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 to 10. I want to read two verses here. First Peter chapter 2, verse 9 to 10. My version, my Bible is NIV, New International Version. You may have a different version, that's okay. So let me read the passage. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into this wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Amen. Sorry, you know, about I cannot read Spanish yet, but I'm going to be able to read in the near future. Yeah. So, according to this passage, I think this passage is really important. Really, really important, because this passage talks about the identity of the Christians. So what is the Christian in Christ? Who are we? So the identity, okay? Here, the word identity is a little bit difficult to understand, but when I talk about the identity, it means, you know, what is the Christian? What are we in the Lord? So according to this passage, first of all, we are a chosen people. We are a chosen people. What does it mean? We have received God's special love. We are the object of God's special, God's everlasting, God's unchangeable love. So we are loved by God. Do you know that? Do you feel that way? Are you loved by God? We are God's special possession. God gives us special love. God loves us as a special person. Okay, that's, you know, the first thing. The second thing is we are a royal people. So here, you know, the Bible uses the language royal priest. Priesthood. So I want to divide that into two categories. So we are God's royal people. What does it mean? We are God's children. We are God's daughters and sons. God is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, right? The King of the universe. So we are the children of the King of the universe. We are daughters and sons of the King of the universe. What does it mean? We are what? A royal people. We are kingly people. You are. One of us, you know, each one of us is what? A prince of God or a princess of God. Regardless of our, you know, educational background, economic background, racial, ethnic background, if we are in Christ, we are God's princes and God's princesses. Amen? Amen to that? Yeah, that's important. And then we are a priesthood. I think this word is really important. We are a priesthood means what? Each one of us is a priest before God. In the Old Testament language, in the Old Testament actually, only some of special people, only some of the Jews, only some chosen people became God's priests. Also, one high priest could enter into the Holy of Holies in the Old Testament time. So only people from the Levite, the tribe of Levi, they could become the priests, and they could become what? They could serve as intermediaries, as bridge builders between God and God's people. But now in the New Testament age, in Christ, Every believer, each one of us, including me, is a priest, a holy priest before God. What does it mean? We can have a bold access to God. We can access to God with confidence. We can have access to God with confidence, and then we can directly worship him, directly pray to him, directly ask petitions, and directly confess our sins, and we can directly praise him. And, you know, we can have direct personal relationship and fellowship with God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Without any barrier, any hurdle, with the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, we can enter into the presence of the King of the universe, and we can have what? Loving fellowship with our Lord. That's the privilege of a priest. Amen? That's good, yeah. Amen to that. So we are a royal people, we are a priesthood, and then we are a holy nation. A holy nation, what does it mean? A nation set apart for God's glory, for God's purpose. In the Bible, we use the language of holiness, and holiness means basically two things. One thing is moral purity. When we are holy, we are morally pure, right? That's the first meaning. The second meaning of holiness is what? Being set apart for God, for God's glory, for God's purposes, for God's plans, for God's mission. We are a holy nation. What does it mean? We are a nation set apart for God's holy purposes. God has specially set us apart from the entire human race for God's glory and for God's purposes. What a great honor and privilege. Amen? Good. And then this passage, you know, continues to say, to talk about our identity. We are God's special possession. Again, the same thing, a chosen people. So we are an object for God's favor and care. We are an object of God's special care and special favor. God always smiles at us. Yeah, sometimes God feels, you know, God feels sadness when we disobey him and when we, you know, commit some sins. But still, God does not stop smiling at us. Amen to that? God is always pleased with us. Why? God is always pleased with us. That is not because of our performances or not because of our achievement, not because of our good works, but because we are in Christ. Amen? Because we are in Christ, because we are God's daughters and sons. We are the object of God's special pleasure. So God says to us, God says to each one of us, you are my pleasure. You are my joy. Okay, let's, you know, speak to each other, to your next person. You are my pleasure. You are my joy. Do it right now. Okay? You are special joy. You are my pleasure. Okay? That's, you know, that's what God says. Always. Always. Amen? Yeah, that's, you know, our freedom. Definitely, we need not abuse our freedom, right? We are free from all kinds of negative things. We are free from guilt, free from condemnation, free from hell, free from death, free from Satan. But we are also free for something, free for God's glory, free for obedience, free for mission, free for service, right? So we do not want to abuse our freedom in Christ. And the final thing here, you know, in terms of the identity of the Christian is actually here. Let me read it again. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that is very important. So that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. So God has made us a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a chosen people, you know, and God's special possession so that we may become praise declaring people of God. Amen? So that we may praise God, so that we may witness to God's grace, God's mercy, so that we may witness to Christ's sacrifice, his sacrificial love, his grace, his wonderful grace. What does it mean? God has made us a special people so that we may become praise declaring people, which means so that we may become missionaries of God and of the gospel and of God's wonderful grace. Amen to that? This is the basis of the idea of the missionaryhood of all believers. Why do I want to talk about the missionaryhood of all believers today? Because the Bible says God has made us special, a special people, so that we may declare the praises of God. Praises declaring people. Simply speaking, we are to be witnesses of the gospel, and also we are what? God's missionaries. Every one of us, whether you are called or sent by, you know, YWAM or not, whether you are sent by Crusade Ministry or not, whether you are sent by this church, this, you know, a local church or not, every believer, literally every believer is a missionary. Why? The Lord Jesus has called each one of us, and he has sent us to the ends of the earth. Amen? Amen to that? So let me, you know, talk about the missionaryhood of all believers, you know, in more detail here. So just what I want to say is every Christian is a missionary, and not only so-called full-time professional missionaries, but also all ordinary Christians. Ordinary Christians are missionaries called and sent by our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20, the Great Commission, right? The Great Commission passage. Go and make disciples of all nations. Yeah, that passage was spoken originally to the apostles. But why was it written? Why was it written by the apostle Matthew? That message is given to all of us, to each one of us, through the apostles. So we are also called and commanded to go and make disciples of all nations. And according to Acts 1:8, the Lord Jesus said, hey, when you are empowered by the Holy Spirit, then you shall be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. Definitely this passage in Acts 1:8 was also spoken originally to the apostles, but this was written actually. So this command or this promise, Jesus commanded, but this is God's, Jesus' promise, because you shall, what does it mean? I will make you witnesses, my witnesses to the ends of the earth, right? So Jesus Christ has called each one of us to be his witnesses to the ends of the earth. No exception. Everybody, every Christian, every believer is a witness of the gospel, is a witness of Jesus Christ, which means we are missionaries. And then according to Mark 16:15, Jesus Christ has commanded us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Again, this command also was given originally to the apostles, but this is given also to us through the apostles. So we should go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Then our next question is, where are the ends of the earth? Should we go to Turkey? Should we go to India? Should we go to Tanzania? Should we go to Egypt? Nobody, no. Not everyone, not every Christian can go to those countries. So where are the ends of the earth according to Acts 1:8? First of all, your home and your family is the end of the earth. Your home and your family. If you have unbelievers, in your family members, if you have, you know, non-believers among your family members, then you should preach the gospel to them. They are the ends of the earth. Okay? And your neighbors, if you have non-Christians in your neighborhood, they are the ends of the earth. We should become Christ's witnesses to those who do not yet believe in Christ in our neighborhood. And your working place, your business place, and this town of Denver, Littleton, right? And also, you know, this state of Colorado, this nation of US, right? The USA and North America, including Canada and Mexico, and also the whole globe, including South America, including Asia, Africa, Europe. The ends of the earth start here at our home and our family. Amen to that? Anybody who has, you know, non-Christians in your family, raise your hand. Yeah, many of us. Then let's start being Christ's witnesses and his missionaries at our home and in our family. That's the beginning of our missional work. Family members, our friends, our working place, this city, this state, this nation, and the whole globe. Even though you cannot go to Tanzania, Egypt, or Saudi Arabia, you can pray for the country. You can pray for those missionaries who are there. You can, you know, give some gifts for the mission. You can participate in God's mission. So the language we use, Missio Dei. Anybody has heard the word, the phrase Missio Dei? Repeat after me, Missio Dei. Missio Dei. Missio Dei means God's mission of God. You know what? Mission, okay? Global mission is primarily God's work. Amen to that? God is in his mission. God is in his redemptive mission. God is the actor, right? The main actor in missionary movement. We are participating in God's mission. We enjoy privileges and honors to be with God in his redemptive mission, okay? So I think this is really important. So where are the ends of the earth? The ends of the earth is our home, our family, our neighbors, our working place, business place, our city, okay? Everywhere is the ends of the earth. Therefore, our mission is from everywhere to everywhere. Okay, not from the USA to South America, no. Our mission is from everywhere to everywhere. And each one of us is a missionary. And then I want to talk about, you know, the pandemic here. We are living under the COVID-19 pandemic. But I think personally, you know, theologically, we can interpret this pandemic in many different ways. But I want to say COVID-19 pandemic is a sign of the Lord's second coming. According to Luke 21:10, there will be great earthquakes, famines, and pestilences in various places, and fearful events and great signs from heaven. This is what the Lord Jesus said. Many pestilences in various places in the whole globe, right before the Lord's second coming. So the pandemic 19, no, this the COVID-19 pandemic is a sign of the Lord's second coming. We should be ready. We should be awakened. Wake up. The Lord is coming. Amen. Amen. But here we need to remember the last sign of the Lord's second coming, according to Matthew 24:14. This is what the Lord Jesus said. Matthew 24:14, the Lord said here, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Matthew 24:14. I think this passage is really, really important. The Lord Jesus said, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. What does it mean? When God's mission is completed, when God's missionary plan is accomplished, the Lord Jesus will come. Then what's happening? What is the landscape? What is the current status of global mission? There are still many unreached ethnic groups, especially in South America, in Southeast Asia, in Africa. We have still many unreached ethnic groups, and portions of the Bible have been translated into 34,000 languages out of 7,000 languages in the whole world. Yeah, this is, you know, from some statistics, actually. We have 11,000 ethnic groups in the whole globe. 11,000, okay? 11,000 ethnic groups in the whole globe. These 11,000 ethnic groups use 7,000 languages, different languages. Out of 7,000 different languages only, okay, the Bible is available only in 3,400 languages, which means what? Half, yeah, 50%, around 50%. The Bible has been translated into the half of 7,000 languages so far. Wycliffe Bible Translation, you know, Society and many other Bible translating societies are working hard now. So with the help of what? Artificial intelligence, with the help of the technological advancement, the Bible translation work will progress rapidly. So probably in 10 years, in 20 years, in 30 years, the Bible will be available in every language in the whole globe. What does it mean? That means the Lord's second coming is really, really, really near. Nobody knows about the date, exact date, exact time, exact year of the Lord's second coming. That is only up to the Father, amen? But we have a lot of signs of the Lord's second coming, so we need to be ready. We need to live in expectation of the Lord's second coming. The Lord is calling each one of us to fulfill Missio Dei, God's mission, the mission of God. Amen? Okay, so let me, talk about the future tasks of the global mission. What are some of the works that we should do? First of all, translation of the Bible in more languages. Amen, right? We need some translator for our worship today, or continuously in this church, we need translators, but we need more translators of the Bible. If you have special gift, special interest, and special talent in languages, please devote your lives to the translation of the Bible. And also, we need to mobilize and train future missionaries from younger generation. Where is Aaron? Where is Aaron here? Aaron? Brother Aaron? Yeah, raise your hand. Yeah, Aaron is only 18 years old, right? He has received some training, through YUM, and he is very gifted in music, right? He can play every musical instrument. I think God is calling, but God is calling you to global mission. Absolutely, you have been already called because you are a missionary in Christ. But think about it. Translation. Okay, you can translate the Bible into many different languages. How about some others? Anybody? Anybody wants to volunteer for the translation work? Why not? And also, we should do better in terms of domestic missions in the U.S. Numerous ethnic groups we have in the U.S. We have Bolivians, we have Colombians, we have Brazilians, we have Argentines, we have Mexicans, we have Indonesians, we have Filipinos, we have, Chinese, Japanese, Koreans, we have Saudi Arabians, we have Iranian, and we have Tanzanians. We have numerous ethnic groups in the U.S. The U.S. is a mission field. Amen? The U.S. itself is a mission field. So I like this church. This church is a missional church. You are gathering people from all ethnic groups. And then you share the gospel. You are saving people. So we should do better in terms of our domestic missions. And also we should continue the overseas missions in Asia, in Africa, in Latin America, in Central America. Probably you have your family members in Bolivia, in Colombia, in Guatemala, in Nicaragua, in any other countries, right? If you have your family members in your countries, in your continent, let's do our best to evangelize them and to plant churches, to spread the gospel, okay, to the ends of your own country. And also, working here in the U.S. as immigrants, right, sharing the gospel with all ethnic groups. Why not? That's our responsibility. That's our duty, and that's our honor and privilege. And also, we need to preach the gospel to other strategic nations. India, 1.5 billion people. India. In China, 1.5 billion. Indonesia, Saudi Arabia, other African countries, Islamic Arabic world, and probably from this church, to many South American countries and nations. You have been called and sent to South American mission. Amen to that? So according to Isaiah 6:8, when the prophet Isaiah saw the glorious vision of God, God said, "Then I heard," okay, this is, you know, the prophet Isaiah, "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?' And I said," the prophet Isaiah said, "'Here am I, send me.'" Repeat after me. "Here am I, send me." Do you want to say so? Do you want to say what the prophet Isaiah said? Here am I. Here I am. Send me. Brothers and sisters, all of us have been sent to our home, to our family, to our neighbor, to our city, to our working place, business place, to our nation, to our ethnic groups, to our communities, to the whole globe. So let's remember that each one of us are a missionary of God. And Jesus, the King of the King and the Lord of the Lords, has called us and sent us as his ambassador, as his witness, as his martyria, as his martyrs. So are you ready? Are you ready? May the Holy Spirit empower each one of us to say yes to God's invitation and to give our life, to give our talent, time, right? And finance, treasure, to the work of mission, to the work of kingdom mission. Amen? Hallelujah, amen? Okay. Let me pray. Dear Father, we thank you for your love and grace. Especially, we thank you for salvation and freedom and liberation in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been saved through the witnesses of your missionaries. So please help us be your missionaries to all people in all peoples on this earth. Thank you for calling each one of us. Thank you for sending each one of us to the whole globe as a missionary. Please give us power, wisdom, and passion to accomplish your mission. And please help us be your faithful disciples and witnesses of the gospel to everybody, to everyone that we meet here, and to everyone and everybody in the whole globe. In the name of Jesus, amen.